Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, as the Judge Kavanaugh situation continues to heat up, that's just getting more and more wild. There's all kinds of stories. There's been the hearings, everything going on there. But when you boil the Judge Kavanaugh situation down, you can boil it all down to one word that begins with an A and ends with an N. And that word is abortion. It's all about abortion when it comes to the Supreme Court. And really, from a constitutional perspective, it shouldn't be that way. The Supreme Court should not be nearly as powerful as it is. But that's the direction that we've gone in as a country, and everything's politicized. And that's why you see a totally unsubstantiated 32, 33, 34-year-old allegation, which is all it is, with no proof whatsoever and no real corroborating evidence. None of that stuff derailing right now a confirmation of a U.S. Supreme Court justice. It's all about abortion. And that is a hill that the people on the left are absolutely willing to die on. And so with that as a backdrop, over the weekend, as we were continuing to watch the radar and the weather and everything, since we live here in Raleigh, North Carolina, my wife and I watched a brand new documentary that's out on Netflix, which I would strongly recommend that you should watch. It's called Reversing Roe. And this was made by two documentary filmmakers, women. They're both liberal, pro-choice, but overall it wasn't nearly as bad as I expected it to be. It really kind of tracks mostly the political side of this discussion and fight since Roe versus Wade, and does not paint a complete picture. And it's skewed, but again, like I said, not nearly as bad as I expected it to be. But it's infuriating. I got mad a lot. I had to check my flesh and my righteous indignation with the gospel, and remembering that most of the people that are defending the butchery of this are lost and clueless, and they've given themselves over to it. The devil's in there. The flesh is in there. The world is in there. But I tell you, it's hard. It's hard to remember that when you're listening to these lies and this evil that's going on out there in the world. But one of the people that they interviewed several times throughout the documentary, was Troy Newman from Operation Rescue. Troy is no stranger to the show. He's a good friend of mine, one of my heroes in the faith, and he's calling in today to help us walk through this story. But Troy, how are you, buddy? Welcome back. It looks like you and your bride had an awesome trip.
Yeah, we had a great trip in Spain. It was a wonderful vacation, and you and I kind of communicated via text, and glad you guys are okay and high and dry, or maybe just high but a little soaking wet.
Yeah, we definitely got kind of wet there, but yeah.
I mean, 36 inches of rain, my goodness, you guys.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But no, you're right. This issue isn't an issue. It's about tissue. It's the tissue of an unborn child, and the debate rages. I'll tell you one thing that struck me about this this movie. It's called Reversing Roe, and thanks for highlighting the fact that I'm in this. But it really champions some of the forerunners of our movement here in the pro-life movement. Dr. Jerry Falwell, Dr. Kennedy, Paul Weyrich, Phyllis Schlafly, and so many others that have been a loud and vociferous voice for the unborn child. And it just makes me proud to stand on their shoulders and be reminded by some of the history that we've gone through to get to this point here where we literally are one vote away from ending the most despicable crime against humanity that America has ever seen. And I'm understanding all of American history, and that's the murder of 60 million innocent children. And I do think that, you know, this movie is very skewed, very liberal, you know, filled with a lot of propaganda, but there's some real big nuggets of truth there, and they show the pictures of aborted children, and I think they give us kind of a fair shake. I mean, maybe 70% no, but 30% yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't half bad.
That's what I thought, and especially given the filmmakers and the power and the strength behind it and what their worldview is. I got what I expected. It wasn't as bad as I expected it to be, so that was
right.
Good. And then, of course, you know, they generally paint, even with you and Operation Rescue, you know, the they want to make a big deal about Lord, train my hands for war, which is the scripture verse that you have on the wall there at Operation Rescue in Wichita, Kansas. And, you know, they try to this over-aggressive, we don't care about women. And the one thing that's missing from the whole conversation almost the entire time is where are the babies in this conversation? And they, of course, talk about abortion as if it's just like a hysterectomy or having a LASIK surgery on your eyes. It's just another medical procedure. And in that, it's dangerously and in an evil way, inaccurate.
Certainly. And that's the most important part of our movement, if you will, or Christianity, historic Christianity. You can go back all the way to the dawning of the ages, where God clearly speaks against women inducing an abortion or the sanctity of human life beginning at the moment of conception. David, King David, said, I'm not going to, the son, says, when he sinned with Bathsheba and she became pregnant, the baby died. He says, that baby's not going to come back to me. I'm going to go to that baby. So it really underscoring the fact that children have this beautiful relationship with God, that we're special above creation, that we're created in the image of God, the likeness of God. We're His imago Dei, we're His image bearers, which is very special. And that is missing from the movie. You know, we're not just talking about pulling a tooth. I think they said that in the movie, or, you know, pulling some horrible cancer that's destroying our body. But, you know, here's an aside. Hey, buddy, my son Daniel's wife just had twins at 32 weeks of gestation. They were in the NICU, the smallest, cutest little children, my grandbabies. But at 32 weeks, it's perfectly legal to dismember these babies and sell their body parts for a profit to medical research labs across the world. And I'm holding these precious little grandchildren of mine. I'm thinking, my goodness, this is the heart of the argument, and the left will do everything in its power to negate that, destroy it, or cover it up.
Exactly right. And that's, as I opened with the Kavanaugh thing, and I know you're paying more attention to this than most, obviously. But I said the whole Kavanaugh thing, everything we see about Kavanaugh, the same thing with Neil Gorsuch, it all boils down to one word, and that word is abortion. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would say every Republican person in power, including Trump. I think I've said on the show, if President Trump tomorrow would come out and say, I've changed my mind, I'm pro-abortion, I'm going to nominate pro-abortion Supreme Court justices, 90% of his opposition would go away in a heartbeat and everybody would be great, just like Bill Clinton. But no, the Satan from day one has tried to destroy the family. He's in favor of sexual immorality and child killing to destroy the family. And that's the number one thing that the far left, the atheist left, the godless left, the Democrats are in favor of. And they will, it's stunning to me how far they will go to destroy a good person's character on ridiculous
We'll talk
charges.
About that. I'm up against the break. I'm going to put you on hold,
man.
Troy. And we'll be right back with Troy Newman, Operation Rescue, talking about Kavanaugh, abortion, and this movie that I think you should see. Why? We'll talk about that when we come back. Reversing Roe. We'll be right back. Well, the Steve Noble Show, talking about something we are compelled to talk about. For me, not to bring the issue of abortion to the forefront on this show on a regular basis would be dereliction of duty, which is why we talk about it a lot. And as we discuss what's going on with Kavanaugh and all the mess there, I've got some more information on that for the second half of the show. That all comes down to abortion, that whole issue. I tell you what, when an establishment with a political party, when an ideology, a worldview that lifts up abortion the way they have on the left, and you go after that little G God of theirs, you're going to get pushback. And there's so much there. It's so dark. It's so depraved. And like Troy Newman said from Operation Rescue, this isn't new. This has been going on for thousands of years. And I mentioned this during the break for our Facebook Live friends. Every single instance of it, in the end, when Jesus comes back, there will be no injustice. Every account will be settled. And either it's paid by Jesus himself on the cross or it's paid by the person who refuses him. But every single crime, every single baby lost, all of that injustice will all be dealt with eventually. Again, for that, if you're post-abortive, you've gone down that road, this is not the unforgivable sin. It does require, of course, confession and repentance. God loves you. He died for you. You're not beyond his grasp, regardless of that decision that you made. And I believe, based on the authority of Scripture, that one day, if you follow Christ, if you're born again, when you get to heaven, a little boy or a little girl is going to come up to you with love and grace and compassion and excitement, and they're going to throw their arms out, and they're going to say, "Mom or Dad." And all of the darkness, all of the pain, all of the hurt that's associated with your abortion, in that moment, it'll all be gone. It'll all be healed. And that child who didn't get to live here will live in eternity with his or her eternal father. And if you come to Christ, with you as well. And so that's something that it's important to remind everybody that this is not the unforgivable sin, but it is a deep, dark sin. And that's why we talk about it regularly. Again, thanks, Troy, for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. And great word. Absolutely essential to give the gospel message that Jesus can heal and does heal and forgive and welcomes you right into his kingdom.
Amen. So it's fascinating to me, and you and I have known each other for a while, but it's fascinating to me to kind of look at the history of this movement. So let's talk about Operation Rescue, because Operation Rescue has been out on the forefront for a while, and of course they showed that Randall Terry, who started it, and this kind of very much like Martin Luther King Jr., a defiance of law to get out there and put yourself in the way to try to save babies. Tell us about Operation Rescue and then how you got involved and what all God has been doing through that organization, because it's been pretty amazing to watch.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I heard a message, I think in 1991, that broke my heart. First, we saw the movie, and you can look this up on YouTube. It's called The Hard Truth, just The Hard Truth. And it's about a 7-minute video that shows the hard truth of what abortion is. And after that message of seeing these crushed babies, these broken babies, a man gave a message that said, Joseph Foreman said, if abortion is murder, which God clearly teaches and shows, and this movie showed that abortion is the taking of innocent human life, then we should act like it. What does that mean? What does that mean to act like abortion is murder? So the first thing I did is I went to the local abortion chamber and began to witness and preach and teach, and the next step was to put myself into the coming path of the women who are seeking an abortion. We sat down peacefully, just like Martin Luther King, peaceful civil disobedience, went to jail a few times, but I realized that we're not the ones that really should be going to jail, that it's the people that are murdering children, that are murdering women, that are maiming women, that are breaking the law. Like Kermit Gosnell, those are the ones that need to go to jail and not us sitting in jail in the orange jumpsuits.
Right.
So when I became the president of Operation Rescue in 1999, we kind of remapped the whole program to focus in on closing down abortion mills. We would close them down for an hour or two by doing sit-ins, but we've literally shut down hundreds and hundreds of them since then by applying the laws that are already written. One of the things that this movie does a very good job of is talk about the change that we've been able to bring about in the pro-life movement of going from trying to end abortion completely to slowly putting roadblocks and ebbing away and chipping away at, and restricting access. And through that, we've shut down 70% of the nation's abortion mills. 70% have closed since 1991.
It's amazing.
It's an incredible feat. And so one day we're going to wake up and it's just going to be like, oh, the last abortion clinic closed, yawn. You know, I'll be celebrating, you'll be celebrating, but it because we've come so far, it's like no one has an 8-track tape in their car anymore unless you've got some 1971 Pinto, right? I used to drive one of those, by the way. They don't have them anymore. People rarely have DVDs, I think, anymore, or CDs. I forgot the name. Same thing's happening with abortion mills. It's going the way of the 8-track tape, the VHS. It's going because we're slowly putting them out of business, and that's something I'm really proud of.
And I think there's 7 states now where there's only 1 abortion clinic. Isn't that right?
That's correct. That's correct. Look, we're down to several states with just 1 abortion mill, several more with just 2. I don't want to say just, because everyone is just a despicable altar to Molech or to Baal where they're slaughtering these children. But we're reducing them to the point where they're irrelevant and going to be non-existent. And to that, I can only say, praise Jesus.
Amen. And then, because a lot of times with the law, and they covered this, and you could tell by the way they covered it throughout the documentary, Reversing Roe, where they've seen, I think so many Republicans up on the Hill in D.C. are, they're rhinos. And then when it comes to pro-life, in many ways, they're the same exact thing. They talk about it. They don't do a lot about it. But on a state level, I think the Republican Party's been incredibly effective in enacting laws and going after fetal pain measures and things like that. And you could tell the filmmakers were very unnerved by that, unsettled. It's interesting where they can get gay marriage by reducing the amount of people involved with the decision and ultimately go into five people on the Supreme Court in black robes that throw out the will of 31 states. But
right.
in this case, you're using the same legal system. It's just not going their way. And that brings us to Kavanaugh. Well, let me ask you this question. So I know you've watched, you pretty much watched the whole thing, didn't you?
Right.
So there's the one gal who's an abortionist who travels from state to state because they have a hard time finding abortion. And I did some research on her, and she comes from a background that didn't surprise me, lives a lifestyle that didn't surprise me. But how do you process a person like that? She's running around thinking she's a champion of women's rights, that they have a right to this medical procedure, that men or government shouldn't be telling them what to do with their bodies. How do you process when you look at, as a follower of Christ, how do you deal with somebody like that?
So it's real simple. God talks about people's eyes being closed, completely deceived. And it isn't until you come to Jesus, to these shells come off of your eyes and you're able to see clearly. Emotionally, I've talked to these people multiple times. I've got inside informants. I've talked to these abortionists. There's really a cognitive disconnect. Like literally the same. It's one thing to be kind of pro-choice in theory. You don't really think about the issue. Oh, people have a right to make freedom decisions. Okay, good. You know, buy firecrackers, don't buy firecrackers, milk, lactose-free, whatever. But when it comes to abortion, when you're an abortionist and you're physically dismembering a baby every single day, and then you go out on the cameras like Colleen McNichols, this abortionist in St. Louis, traveling abortionist, and say, it's just a clump of cells, a blob of tissue. There's a cognitive dissonance, a complete self-deception of reality. She lives in an alternate universe.
Yeah.
Because these are babies, like I mentioned earlier. I've held them in the NICU.
I've dug
them out of trash cans when they're already dead. And there's nothing more that looks like an innocent human being baby just in its early gestational age.
You got a few more minutes, Troy? You got a few more minutes?
I do.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be right back.
Let's try it all together.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today talking about, one of the most important things we can talk about next to the gospel itself, and this is part of the gospel, is speaking truth into the darkness that is abortion. I watched with my wife, and I struggled through it. My wife knows when I'm really mad and I'm upset because my language will go south, and I'll say things that you would probably, if you were sitting in that room with me, you would probably be shocked at what you would hear me say. In my righteous indignation, which I can justify, but sometimes I forget, like Troy Newman was talking about in the last segment from Operation Rescue, that these people are given over in many ways. They've chosen it in many ways. They're dislodged from reality in many ways. They're just living in an alternate reality. And you sit there and go, this is crazy. This is crazy that, and I read an article about the lady he was mentioning that's featured throughout the movie, who is a kind of a traveling abortionist. And I looked it up, and this one article I read, which was just lauding her as a hero, in an 8-hour day, she did 31 abortions. And I'm sitting there going, 31? I mean, give me one serial killer in U.S. history that murdered 31 people in one day. They'd have to be a terrorist, right? And I'm sitting there going, what? So you think that's crazy? You're right. Because you know what the definition of crazy is? Crazy is being out of touch with reality. And what is reality? Reality is that which is true. So what is truth? And now you sound like Pontius Pilate. What is truth? Well, truth is the reality is defined by the maker of reality. That's God. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you think it's crazy, it's because it is, by definition. Troy, thanks for being with us today. I appreciate it.
You bet. And I want to remind the people that I am a sacred cow killer.
Yes, you are.
And I'm proud of it. And thanks for your daily devotions. I love them. I get them 3 times, by the way.
Yeah, no, I'm moving Troy from 3 to 2, and then I got to go find. I keep forgetting to do that. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But at least I'm pelting you with God's word. It's not like I'm trying to sell you essential oils 3 times a day.
Well, hey, you know, God repeats himself oftentimes. Our Christian music.
That's right.
repeats itself all often. So it's better, you know, if I delete one, hey, there's a backup copy.
Truly, truly, verily, verily. So it's very biblical. Anyway, thanks for being all here. Right. I love you and appreciate you. You know that. All right. So let's talk about, I want to talk about kind of what's the minimal acceptable standard, you think, for somebody that names the name of Jesus, is a born-again Christian. I don't know any true born-again Christians that would say they're not pro-life. But is saying you're pro-life the minimal acceptable standard for a Christian? Or what do you think is the minimal thing that we should be doing as followers of Christ on this issue of abortion?
Well, okay, so, yeah, the minimal things, we have to believe in Jesus. We, you know, we have to repent and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. I mean, that's the thing. Jesus said in Matthew 28 that we're to go throughout the whole world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I have commanded. So for us, we have to first understand God's law. And understanding God's law, we have to understand who's the giver, who's the author of life. Jesus is life. Just do a Bible study on life. Jesus is life. The fount of life comes from him. The water of life, the giving of life, the breath of life, all of that. So the taking of innocent life is the antithesis of the gospel. It is who Satan is. He's a liar. He's a thief. Right from the very beginning. So we have to continually side more with Jesus than with the devil. And that's the sanctification process that goes throughout our lives. So from the moment we become Christian today, we say, Jesus, I trust you. I love you. Cleanse me in my sins. Help me follow you. We have to start leaning more toward the light and toward life. So yes, I think it's a minimum. You can't be volitionally pro-abortion. In other words, you understand what abortion is. And say, yes, I love abortion, I love Jesus. Those two things are contradictory. Recently, Chelsea Clinton said it's unchristian to be pro-life. It's ridiculous. And I don't know about you, but I don't remember the last time I took theological advice from any of the Clintons, let alone
nor would I ever. That's correct. Well, let me cross into I texted you about this the other day, and of course you see some of this in the reversing row, not a whole lot, but this kind of a really aggressive approach outside of an abortion clinic, where I was talking to some people on Facebook during the commercial break. If you knew for a fact that your neighbor was taking their 2-year-old child down to the pediatric place to have them euthanized because they just became too much of a problem in their life and they wanted them gone, I mean, what would you do to stop that? Would you just stand there in your driveway and pray over them? Would you try to hand them a tract as they drove by? Would you throw yourself in front of the car? Would you yell and scream? Same thing if I'm driving home. I get home this evening and my neighbor is beating the tar out of his wife on his driveway. That's not my approach is not going to be winsome. It's not going to be calm. It probably might be a little prayerful as I run to start punching the guy, but I'm gonna throw myself into that situation to try to preserve that lady's life. How do you look at and how do you look through a biblical lens and a life lens when people are aggressively acting outside of an abortion clinic and yelling at the workers and preaching loudly and all that kind of stuff? How do you process that, Troy?
Well, I was one of those, and I have been one of those. And it goes back to what I said earlier. If abortion is murder, which it is, then we should act like it. God says to open your mouth for the voiceless. Speak up for those that have no voice. Rescue those unjustly sentenced to die. Notice how I threw a bunch of Proverbs in there all at once.
It's all good.
And I heard you have a devotional about that.
Yes, thank you for that.
So we must open our mouth. So like these are all good analogies. If your neighbor's taking their 2-year-old down to be euthanized, are you simply going to vote, wait for the next election cycle, you know, kind of pray for the next Supreme Court justice? Yes, we do that. So it can't be repeated. But again, we have to do something about this, and that's why I have been thrown in jail more times than I can count for sitting in front of the doors of an abortion clinic. Sometimes I've been thrown in jail for opening my mouth in front of an abortion mill. Most of these cases have been dismissed, thankfully. But I've also served some time just for opening my mouth. I've served time in jail for holding a sign of the Ten Commandments. So, unfortunately, that's the day and age that we live in, but I would just ask every one of your listeners, what is God calling you to do about this Holocaust? This is a Holocaust that's taking place in our lifetime. Sometime in the future, we're going to look back, just like we look back on slavery and oppression of women and oppression in Nazi Germany and Mao Zedong and Stalin, and we say, that was a tragic time. Why weren't there more people that would speak up? History is going to judge us in the same way same way we judge people who went before us and did nothing about injustices.
Do you think, and we'll finish with this, and we got a couple minutes left, on the Supreme Court, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, can you imagine a day in the near future, do you think, even if Kavanaugh gets in there, do you think this court could actually overturn Roe? If they did, do you think they would turn it back to states' rights? Do you think that's where it would end up? Or what's your view on this after all these years of being in the battle?
So it really is going to depend on the case that we bring before the Supreme Court. And that's why I've been fighting, as you know, for the heartbeat bill. If a heartbeat can be detected, then the baby is protected. In other words, let's bring some scientific evidence, which wasn't discussed during Roe versus Wade. Those are some of the cases I would like to see brought before the Supreme Court. In other words, you're not going to get what you don't ask for. So Faye Weddington and those, they in Roe versus Wade, they actually asked the court to overturn all the abortion restriction laws. Let's ask for life to be defined at the moment of conception, when the sperm and the egg meet, the moment when life begins, human life begins. Let's ask for that. So it's really just kind of going to be up to the court what laws come up first. I certainly think it's within their power. I think it's within their right and ability. And I think it's what we've been asking them to do. We've been building on this momentum for 45 years or more. And so I think all the pieces are in place to have it done. The only question is, will they have the political willpower? I'll put it this way. Will we have the same political willpower to do what's right, what the left is doing in a wrong way? Look at the craziness that they're with, the violence they're willing to perpetrate just to keep their abortion laws. We need to be just as vociferous for the truth in a peaceful, godlike way, but we have to be persistent and consistent every single day.
Yeah, would you say that after all these years, Troy, you're more hopeful now than you ever have been?
I am. I'm excited. Hey, I haven't been bashful about it. I was a Cruz supporter at first. I'm a radical Trump supporter because he's been on our side. He's kept more promises in this area than anybody I've ever seen in 30 years of playing politics. And I'm very hopeful. I think God has given this little ray of reprieve, giving us exactly what we've prayed for 45 years. We got to remember that God listens and he hears and he answers our prayers.
Yeah.
We've been praying for this for so long. God's more upset about child killing than we are. He's answering our prayers, but we have to be diligent. We have to go pull the lever when it's time to vote. We've got to continue to speak up for the babies. We have to act on our principles. But it's a great day to be here. It's exciting times, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And would you say that, as infuriating as it can be, would you recommend that Christians get to Netflix and watch Reversing Roe? Because I think you have to stay sensitized and have to stay engaged.
You got to understand what the culture is saying. You'll see the propaganda. I mean, it's easy to see through what they're saying, but there's some great historical footage. I love Paul Weyrich. He was a friend of mine. There's some really great footage. And if you don't understand where we've come from and how we've gotten to this point, go watch Reversing Roe on Netflix, and you'll get a good perspective.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Troy Newman, Operation Rescue, operationrescue.org. If you want to start somewhere supporting a pro-life organization, start there. Troy, I love you, man, and appreciate you. Thanks for being on today.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, goodbye. We'll talk to you again real soon. We'll come back some more on Kavanaugh. I've got several things I want to talk about there before we finish up our time together. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today, talking about something that never really leaves the table for long here on the show, and that's the issue of life, the issue of abortion. We are talking to Troy Newman, who's been the president of Operation Rescue since 1999. He often says, and he said it on the air, I've been arrested more times than I could figure. I got him to count once, and it was about 30. He's been arrested 30 times. I was arrested once on spring break for surfing on the hood of a car in Myrtle Beach. That's what I got arrested for. And I know that sounds funny. Troy Newman got arrested for chaining himself to the front door of an abortion clinic to try to stop babies from being murdered. And, by the way, at the same time, trying to stop all of the post-abortive things that happen to women as well as the men. And there are all kinds of stories out there and all kinds of facts and the reality of post-abortive effects. Physical, emotional, spiritual, all of it. Nobody ever wants to talk. The pro-choice people never talk about post-abortion. It's like, hey, I went to the store. I got rid of something. I dropped something off at the cleaners. I got back to my life. I got back to my job. I finished my college degree. I got my killer job. I got my leased BMW, and life is good. No, you don't knowingly murder your own child, and that doesn't do anything to you. And so while you're aggressively trying to save the life of the baby, you're also aggressively trying to hold back the onslaught of the post-abortive effects that are a reality. And all of that should be motivated out of love, which is really difficult sometimes. Because when I'm watching Reversing Roe on Netflix over the weekend with my wife and this one gal, you know, and I'm sitting there going, she's looks like a single mom. To me, she looks a little, I'm guessing she's probably a lesbian. She's probably a liberal, blah, blah. So then I go online, and of course, I find out she is a lesbian. She's got her partner. And I'm throwing all that stuff in the same pot, going, that figures. So, blah, blah, blah. It's going down all that road, right? That culture warrior side of me just swelling up. Then I'm like, the fact that she 31 in a day, she could do 31 abortions in a day and thinks that she's Robin Hood helping women with their rights to some just a medical procedure. That she could be that far gone, that dark, throw all this other stuff in there as well. Her sexual sin, knowingly raising a boy without a father, all that kind of stuff, and doing it on purpose. And I'm just sitting there going, burn, baby. That's part of that's righteous indignation. A lot of that is my flesh. And then I have to stop and go, wow, Lord, you died for her just like you did for me? I never did anything like that. Be very careful. You start going down that road. Because now it's bad theology to say all sins are the same. You probably hear that all the time. That is not true. That's really bad theology. All sins are the same. What he's talking about is all it takes is one. And one sin will offend God eternally, and you'll be separated from him eternally. If it's the sin of murder, abortion, sexual sin, lying, dishonoring your parents, whatever, that's enough. One of them. Because he's perfectly holy. But to sit there and telling a little white lie, we call it that, little white lie, or murdering a child, or beating your wife to a pulp, that's all the same. A God of infinite justice? Because Jesus is talking about it'd be better for this group than for that group. There's different levels of punishment in hell, different rewards in heaven. Yeah, God is a God of justice. Cutting somebody off in the highway is not the same offense. It's not as egregious. It doesn't do as much damage as murder. So be careful with that stuff. But anyway, I really want you to watch that. I put up a review that I thought was right on the money from a website called The Bridgehead by Jonathan Van Maren, who really picks the documentary apart well, the ups and the downs. Really, really helpful piece. I've linked to that on the Facebook page. I'll do that again. And you can check that out for yourself. But let's finish up talking a little about what's going on with Kavanaugh. This is just turning into a big mess. You've got Democratic senators on Tuesday escalated their demands. This is from Fox News regarding a hearing to examine the sexual assault allegation against Brett Kavanaugh, suggesting Monday's scheduled public session with the Supreme Court nominee and his accuser is not enough, calling for more witnesses and more time for the FBI to dig into the allegations. By the way, have you ever heard of the statute of limitations? Why do we have that? Because over time, people forget. Now, what's the statute of limitations on sexual assault? Well, if it's a misdemeanor, it's a year. If it's a felony, there is no statutory limit on that. But a misdemeanor, which if the Kavanaugh thing were true, would clearly be a misdemeanor, especially because it was people under 18. She doesn't remember how she got there. She didn't remember the house. She doesn't really remember what year. So could you go to court with that? Of course not. But again, when you think it's about Kavanaugh, when you think it's about being a conservative, remember it's about the topic we're discussing today, which is abortion. So that's what they're doing there. And then this is scary. Susan Collins, who's the pseudo-Republican from Maine, has requested that lawyers for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the woman who has accused him of sexual assault be able to cross-examine both of them at Monday's scheduled hearing. This is turning into Nero's circus, right? In the lion's den. This is crazy. But this is where it's going. Here's another one. This was somebody on CNN the other day. Chris Salitza or Saliza or something like that. And he was talking about the allegations and stuff. And this is from an article that Ben Shapiro wrote. And talking about this person being a partisan hack, and where does that come from? Because he's like, CNN Salitza gave away the game on Tuesday in response to Senator John Cornyn's request for more information from the accuser. Cornyn stated, the problem is Dr. Ford can't remember when it was, where it was, or how it came to be. There are some gaps that need to be filled, to which Salitza, the CNN correspondent, or a talking head said, walking a very dangerous line here. The problem is Dr. Ford can't remember when it was, where it was, or how it came to be, which is what Cornyn says. And so, yes, back to Shapiro. Clearly, the dangerous line is asking questions, not destroying a man's life based on uncorroborated accusations. None of this suggests that Ford is lying. It merely suggests that the Senate needs more information before convicting Kavanaugh in the court of public opinion. But asking questions is too much for many on the left, who say that no hearing should be held and demand that the FBI, a law enforcement agency tasked with investigating violations of federal law, of course, none of our legend here, regarding an incident without time or place. This is cynical garbage, writes Ben Shapiro, and it actually undermines Ford's credibility, which is truly tragic. The only thing that should undermine her credibility is, well, the credibility of accusations, which is why we should ask questions. But when the side promoting accusations states that questions are out of bounds, that signals shakiness in the accusation. And that's the fault of Democrats and their media acolytes. So you've got this whole situation that to even question it is somehow a violation of the Me Too movement and hateful. Somebody else was talking about, this was somebody else on MSNBC. I'm trying to read through this right quick. It was with Lawrence O'Donnell, made this claim. We need to judge Brett Kavanaugh not just by what he may or may not have done, that's the facts, but in how he treats a woman's pain. And that is something I'm going to be paying attention to on Monday. How does he respond to what's happening? Whether or not he agrees that this happened with her, does he take her pain seriously? Do the people interrogating her pain take her pain seriously? Now, I'll give you a spoiler alert. I don't think Brett Kavanaugh takes women's pain very seriously. And I know that because of the decisions he's made as a judge. And what decisions do you think she's referring to? Anything that has anything against absolute right to kill a baby in utero at any point for any reason. And so if he doesn't take her pain seriously, which is an assumption that she's telling the truth, which I'm not assuming that she isn't, but it's totally uncorroborated. It would go nowhere in a court of law. There's no evidence. There's no corroborating witnesses. There's no recollection. She doesn't know the time or the place, where it was. She doesn't even know what year it was. Could it have been somebody else? Could she have been drinking? Maybe she was drunk. It's just ludicrous. And now we're shutting down. And the other thing goes all the way back to the beginning of August, which is when Senator Dianne Feinstein of California actually came into possession of this letter. At the beginning of August, check the date. It's September 18th. And you don't say anything. She had closed session meeting with Kavanaugh, said nothing. Open session, all of that back and forth in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Remember how many times she brought it up? Zero. Now we're getting ready to vote. They were supposed to vote last Thursday. They punted it to this Thursday to get it out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, to get it to the floor for an actual nomination vote. And they're punting on that. Where was this information before? Well, she obviously didn't find it credible. And now when their back's up against the wall, there are no rules. And you know why that is? It's because the little g god known as abortion. They will do anything, literally anything, to keep Molech legal. Molech, look him up. In the Old Testament, false god, they sacrifice their children to him in the fire. They'll do anything, including lie. We might find out. I mean, don't be surprised. Gird up your loins, friends. Don't be surprised when there's other things that are going to come up in the next 3 days. Other women will mysteriously come out of nowhere. Brett Kavanaugh got nominated a few months ago. They're going to come out of nowhere. Oh, he did that to me, too. Remember that when we went through that with Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas? It's not the evidence. It's the seriousness of the charge. Whoa. And that's starting to go to everybody. The Me Too movement's doing that. All kinds of stuff. These are very scary and concerning days in America. So you know what? Let's finish the show today. We've got about a minute left. Let's finish by praying together about this. Because this is a nightmare. There's injustice here. There's lying. There's manipulation. We don't know what the truth is. And so we need to pray to God for justice. Let's do that right quick as we finish. Father God, we thank you for this day. We just cry out for justice. We cry out for truth. We cry out for sanity. We cry out for the babies, Lord. All that blood that's been shed. The babies that are being marched to their executioner today, tomorrow, the next day. Lord, I don't know why you still have mercy on this nation, but you do. We thank you for that. We ask for your intervention in all things, especially with the loss, but with respect to abortion, Lord, and with respect to this craziness going on in Washington, D.C., and Brett Kavanaugh and our Supreme Court, Lord, please help us. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.